Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Antigua, Armenia, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Chechnya, Hungary, Ireland, Japan, Latvia, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Russia, Slovenia, South Africa, United States.
Greetings, netizens around the world. The planet is once again listening to the technology show for Generation E. Mick Williams, Cyberline, coming at you around the world via the internet, coast to coast via satellite on the USA Radio Network. Okay, it's me and Video Bob again.
Hey.
And it's good to be here. It's not raining yet, so hopefully we get out of here soon. We got a whole bunch of stuff we're going to talk about. One of the things I want to talk about is the poor treatment that the Star Trek shuttlecraft down in Houston is getting, and a lot of people are upset about it. And I saw some pretty neat little things on CNBC. You know, they've been talking about the tech breakups and everything. So I got some breakdowns on how users spend time per day on the big apps as well as messaging and other things.
On which apps?
All of the big social media apps.
Ah.
And it's pretty eye-opening. Don't know if it's worth breakup worthy, but we'll talk about it. And also, do you still have your old pre-recorded VHS video cassettes lying around?
Do have a few, yes.
Good. You know they can be worth a lot of money.
Really?
And one of them is worth $37,500, and I know. Why?
Ooh, which one?
Well, I'm not going to tell you right now. We're going to talk about it later.
Oh, which one?
And there's a little story behind why it's worth $37,500.
Well, nifty. I'd like to. I've got a few. Frankly, I've got a number of videos. You know, the only ones I ever would buy would be the ones that would be the classics.
Yeah. Well, when I first started out in video, I had... Well, now I've amassed some 500 video cassettes, all in cabinet stuff. But my first 100 are hanging on the wall. My goal is to copy and digitize what I can, and that first 100 stays. And the reason that is, do you know how much I paid for a TDK T120 video cassette, standard stuff, VHS, back when I first got my first VCR in 1981? I was working for Pacific Stereo in 1982. Guess how much I paid for that cassette?
I bet you that was pricey. How much?
$14.95.
Oh, boy.
At one time, they were $25. And then I had a guy that lived next door to us, him and his quote-unquote roommate. They worked at the base there in NAS Dallas. They got access to the PX.
Uh-huh.
And he'd bring me back cases of Scotch tape in VHS. It'd be a case of 10.
Right.
It'd be $39.99. So by the time I went and got that case, I got it down to about $4 of tape. But the other reason I kept those is because of those prices. But also, that's when they made them good.
Mm-hmm.
Metal rollers, metal parts. And then later on, you started getting the cheap knockoff stuff for, like, you know, you could go out and buy a no-name VHS tape for 99 cents and record soap operas.
Uh-huh.
But it was all plastic gears, plastic rollers, everything.
Well, then, everything did get cheaper and cheaper.
Yeah. And then that was also the time when they started selling pre-recorded video cassettes. I have the very first Star Trek The Motion Picture, which is hard to believe that video cassette's 40 years old now.
Now, what made you buy the VHS over Beta at the time? Wasn't it still around then that Beta was very popular?
Well, they both were popular at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the deal was that most of the people had VHS. And I did a weird thing on mine. There was a company, I think it was called Remco. I don't even think they're in business anymore. But I did one of those deals where you rent to own. And I had the old RCA VDT 501 with the clunk clunk tuners on the front.
Uh-huh.
And you had the wire to pause button. You plug it in the back and you sit across your chair and pause it on and off and stuff. That thing, if you went into a store at the time, you could buy it for like $500. And me being young greenhorn, and I was desperately wanted it and I had no credit, I went and bought one, rent to own. I ended up paying $1,500 for that machine.
Ooh. Boy, $1,500.
Yeah. Wow. I still have it and it still works.
Wow.
Yeah, which is amazing.
A lot of money.
So that was the main reason why I bought it. And, of course, I had several others over the course of time, and they got smaller and better and stereo and everything else. But I was just amazed in that time frame, all of the stuff that you could do. And then the video stores started showing up, you know, and the average tape. I think I paid $80 for that Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got Animal House for $59. Ah. The prices started coming down. And then they had the breakthrough with Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. Paramount did this deal where they started selling them for $39. And then they started bringing out all these titles
starting going
for
less
$40
and less.
Bucks. And now, you know, you could go out and buy them at one time for like under $20 until DVDs came along. And you can get a cheap DVD on a resale in a little bin somewhere for $5. Just like you used to get, you know, $3.99 for some no-name movie or something on VHS.
You know, and that started a whole genre of movie, of video rentals.
Yes.
And you had all those brick-and-mortar stores that were out there, and they started out mom-and-pops.
Yep.
Because I would suspect, because as I recall, wasn't it illegal, or it was a gray area? I think it was more of a gray area on whether or not the rentals were actually legal to do at the time.
Well, that happened a lot with music on CDs.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure if they had that happen also on VHS, but remember, when they were selling stuff, it was it. You bought it, it was yours.
And right, then, like a book.
And then somebody, some mom and pop out there got this idea, hey, you pay a membership, because there was this place called Videoland, I think it was, and they were a franchise. And they had one up in North Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
I paid $59 a year for membership, and then come in, and of course you got a discount if you bought a tape. They took like 10% off or something because you remember. And then you go in and you'd rent the tapes. And then the tapes were about $3.99 or something like that. And then these guys got together up there at Skillman and 635 and created this thing called Blockbuster. The 800-pound gorilla that destroyed everybody else in its path. Where are they today? The last one is what, in Alaska or something like that?
I guess they are.
There was two of them left.
There
and the
is
Australian
a couple
one
still
died.
Exist, aren't there?
Yeah, there's one store left. Hmm. There were four, and then two closed up, and then it was that Alaska store and one in Australia. And last month or the month after, the Australian store closed up, and now there's this one little store. They're actually on Twitter.
You know,
they have a Twitter account.
You do have an evolution. Everything happens, and it migrates forward. Now we've got Redbox out there.
Yeah.
And it would be the one that took over after all that after all that bankruptcy and stuff went through,
and Redbox
closings went
was through. A funny little guy because they were revolutionary. And then at that time, Blockbuster was going down the toilet. I mean, they were losing millions. And 20th Century Fox and a lot of these other groups went and gave them seed money to prop them up. And you remember there was a time when you got Redbox, and what did they do with all of the videos after they were watched? Well, they'd sell them.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd sell them cheap. Of course, you didn't get the box, whatever. You just got the disc. Well, the movie houses did not like that. And so they said, nope, you can't sell them. And then to keep Blockbuster going, remember that would come out and you had to wait 30 days before it would show up on Redbox, but everybody else, Blockbuster them, had it like on the street date when it came out?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was the deal. So they said, well, you can get discs from us, but you can't put them in and do it till 30 days because they were trying to prop up Blockbuster. Then Blockbuster finally tanked, and after a while, I guess they figured, well, I guess Redbox is kind of where we're going to have to go. So, okay, yeah, you can pull them out on the street date. Still can't resell them, though. I think you have to turn them back into 20th Century Fox or whatever, and then they destroy them.
Right. Now everybody just streams.
Yep. And somebody was telling me about Redbox not doing very well, and I'm like, really? They're still outside the stores, and people are still rolling up on them.
I do see
stuff.
Them, and yeah, people are still using them.
Yeah.
I considered doing it, but, you know, it's one of those things where we're those people that rent, and we don't return it that night or, you know, the next day. So we're stuck for the not just the dollar, but, you know, two, three, four, five. So after a while, it was like, why are we doing this when we could just stream it, watch it,
and
pay about the same.
Blockbuster,
yeah, pay about the same
we
were going
late.
To anyway.
But I did like the fact that if I picked one up at home and say I had to go out of town and I was done watching it and I'm in Arkansas, I could roll up to a Redbox, put it in, and I wouldn't be late. And they would say, okay, yep, you turned it in. It's over here. And then I go about my merry little way. I didn't have to go back to that particular Redbox. I had to go back to that particular Blockbuster.
And, you know, I'm totally leaving out Netflix's roots.
Yep, DVDs.
You know,
a lot of people
Netflix
don't remember that.
Started out as mailers.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun. You would, and I liked that. You would sign up for one, two, or three, you know, DVDs at a time, and you could take however many out you wanted. You could keep them as long as you wanted. I mean, you were paying the monthly subscription fee, but the sooner you got them out, put them in, played them, watched them, and sent them back, which was much easier to do,
right?
The sooner you would get your new DVDs. It was, you know, as close as you could get to streaming without streaming, I guess.
Well, ironically, you know, Redbox has a streaming app.
Oh, do they?
Yep. They have a whole line of stuff that you can pay for and rent just like you would going to Vudu or anybody else.
You know, but it's not quite the same. I mean, I guess I love Netflix the way they've got it. I mean, anymore, I just watch it.
One thing I did like, Blockbuster, they tried to compete with Redbox. And they had their own boxes out, and they did a deal with NCR. And I thought those boxes were awesome because they had two of them at Tom Thumb, and I would rent from them and everything. And they had the little screen that'd show you the trailers and stuff up on it, which Redbox didn't have. It was really state-of-the-art and ahead of its time. And when Charlie Egern, who's over running Dish, took Blockbuster, the first thing he did was he blew out those boxes, had them picked up and dismantled, and didn't, you know, ripped up the contract with NCR because they built them for him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you out of your mind, man? You've got this name. You got these boxes. You've got income coming in. And so they decided, oh, we'll just, you know, we'll put a whole bunch of packages together and put it under the Blockbuster logo,
and then you
can pay an extra $10 a month on your Dish to get all of these channels and movies and everything. I was like, are you kidding me?
Well, they tried
what
for a while.
What a waste of trademark.
Yeah, yeah. And let's see, Netflix, it's obviously the model that's stuck around to even today.
Yeah.
And look who's trying to get into it now, you know, Disney. They're
I'm snickering now because they're all talking about what's the next Netflix killer. Because, you know, I always had the iPhone killer. It still hasn't killed anything. And now they're saying, who's going to kill Netflix? Who's going to make Netflix go? And they're making this big deal about the Disney app, that when it comes out in November, that, oh, you better look out, Netflix. They're coming for you. They're coming.
Well, how are they going to do anything any better than Netflix? I mean, once you get streaming that you can activate this, you're not paying anything but the subscription fee. You're paying just for, that, and you get the movies instantly anytime you want.
The only thing
what
that
can Disney offer over that?
The only thing I can see that's going to be a problem is you have Disney pulling out all of the Marvel stuff after that agreement they did with Marvel and is now going to Disney Plus. Of course, all of the Star Wars movies and all of the other stuff that was 20th Century Fox, which is now under Disney, is going to go over to Disney Plus. Meanwhile, all the Warner Brothers stuff, because you know what the number one streamed television show is on Netflix?
No, what?
Friends.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, believe it or not. They went through all their data, and it, more people watch Friends than any television show on Netflix. Now, that's under Warner Brothers.
Hey, it doesn't surprise me.
And they've got their own coming out.
Doesn't surprise me because my kids have watched Friends. And this was, you know, after it was done.
Yeah, and the same here. This is 20-something years, 25 years later. I mean, they're just grinding through it. So I think with all of these shows leaving and not, you know, going to the other streams, will people pay for all these different streams to get those shows where they had it under Netflix, or is it going to be the Netflix killer? We'll be right back. the Gwilliam Cyberline with you. 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US, host 2018 at cyber-line.com. Yeah, I need to change the box out. Don't shoot me. Anyway, love to have you call in. We've also got some announcements on new ways of being able to listen to the show coming up. We got word yesterday, but we can't talk about it right now because they're still in the planning stages. And then once that is done, we will let you know. And I think you will be very happy to know that what we've got coming is going to allow you to listen to us on a lot more platforms than what you were able to do before. So I want to talk about something here. Friday became on the stock exchange what I love to call the Wolf of Wall Street. Now, if you see my personal page, you know I'm a trader, and somebody took the Leonardo DiCaprio title from The Wolf of Wall Street and has it in there, and I have a picture of Worf in a three-piece business suit, says The Worf of Wall Street.
Okay.
That's what I'm normally as. But this Friday, we got The Wolf of Wall Street, and what happened was Chewy.com had its IPO. Now, I knew of Chewy.com. I also had a dog named Chewy. And I had always thought, you know, I need to get that Chewy.com URL and put something together for the dog. Well, somebody else went out and bought it and made a heck of a lot of money with it. There's this guy that created Chewy.com some years ago because him and his poodle went out shopping in the pet store and stuff and didn't find it a very good experience. And so he decided to do Chewy.com. Now, you probably remember a certain little name, and it's been bounced around since the IPO came out, about this dog, or a sock puppet who thinks he's a dog.
Oh, I remember
Pets.com.
Yeah, Pets.com, yeah.
And everybody's talking, oh, God, I don't want to get in this. It's another Pets.com. Oh, don't touch Chewy.com. That's a Pets.com. No, it's not. And the reason that being is, you remember one of the reasons that Pets.com went down so badly, they were losing money hand over fist. And you know what their biggest problem was? Shipping. Because one of the things that Pets.com did was they sent kitty litter out, dog food, all this stuff. Well, remember, there was not Amazon and others like there are now at the time that Pets.com came out. So when you're going and putting a bag of 25-pound kitty litter on a UPS truck and sending it to somebody,
it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Where now, you know, we have all of these deals and Amazon and everybody says, well, you know, you get $50 worth of kitty litter, you get free shipping, or you get 2-day shipping for free. Because they worked out all those negotiations with the trucks. That was the biggest killer of Pets.com. And Chewy is no different. It has the same deal. And some of the things I found out about this, it's a membership-driven deal. They have 10,000 people who work in a call center taking calls and stuff from questions. They will talk to you about your dog and get his health stuff and everything, mm-hmm. and they will pick out what they recommend in dog food, or if it's a cat, what they recommend in cat food.
Okay.
They'll give you all these recommendations of things that are best buy and how you're going to get maximum use out of your dog. And randomly, if you're a really good customer, they come to your house and they paint portraits on clay tiles of your pets. And this is the strangest thing I've found. When your pet, of course, you're in the system, they can see that what, you know, pets you have, the names, their ages, and everything. Uh-huh. And they keep a running tab on everything, data. And one day, let's say your golden retriever dies, and they find out about it. They send you a sympathy card, bouquet of roses, and a whole bunch of stuff.
Wow.
Because, you know, your best friend passed away. Wow. I was amazed at all of the stuff that they did. And I was just thinking, well, you know, it's just a place to go get your pet supplies and have them brought to the door. So they did very well. They got in at 35, and they went down a little bit and stabilized. So now we're waiting for the third or the new quarterly report to see where this thing's going to go. But congratulations, Chewy. And as we said when the money came, Chewy, we're home.